The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. It is Thursday. This week is actually sort of cruising by. Hey, Claude, what's good?
Hey, Jax, it's good. Yes, the week is cruising by, but like for what? You know, like what are we rushing to? Nothing?
For you and I, I'm rushing towards a day where I can sleep in completely, like past noon craziness overload.
I was just telling you before the show, I've been having so much trouble falling asleep during quarantine. And there are many things that like bother me, but the one thing that bothers me the most is not being able to sleep. And Ben is like fast asleep next to me. And like, I'm on my phone and he's like, it's so bright. Turn it off. Like I hate being up. I hate being like left alone with my thoughts and nothing's going on online. Like I don't know what to do. I'm on a bad schedule and I don't know how to get off of it because I was up till 3.
Read.
I'm not that bored, but maybe soon. Maybe I'll get there.
Just read Jessica Simpson's book. And by the way, if you really hate reading, it will put you to sleep. That's the point. That's why I said it. Not because I think it's going to stimulate you.
How do I read when Ben is asleep?
You have to get a Kindle, but or like with a little flashlight or go into the living room.
Yeah, I was thinking last night of going into the living room and just finally giving up and like maybe falling asleep on the couch, but I eventually fell asleep. It's so frustrating. The nights are so long.
I know. I usually have a lot of trouble falling asleep, but yesterday due to my shift in schedule where I woke up earlier to work out and then did a second workout with the Live Method, I think I tired myself out enough to fall asleep around like 1:30 with ease. I am so sore. I did a one-on-one training session with Matt from the Live Method, like in my room, like literally what I said I was never going to do. You should have seen me with my jumping jacks, but my whole second bedroom is now like, I have everything that I need. Zach got this kettlebell that's like digital and it can become more or less weight. You just have to like set it. It's crazy. I think it's the coolest thing ever.
That is crazy. Wait, speaking of the Live Method, there was a post yesterday in the Facebook group, like drop something you thought about the Steens, like that ended up being not true. And everyone was like, I thought Jackie and Claudia were friends, blah, blah, blah. And it was just so funny to see what people think about us before they get to know us. And literally everybody thought that our sister Olivia owned the Live Method. And honestly, I can't believe more people don't think that. Like, it's so confusing.
No, it's so confusing. And I'm sure people are hearing this now and like they're realizing that she doesn't own the Live Method. She just started going there and it happens to be called the Live Method, which is just, it's, I think that's why she probably started like loving it so much.
Yeah. It was really honestly a hysterical post.
Hysterical.
It would be a great episode for Patreon for us to like react to all the things people thought about us.
Oh yeah. That would be really funny. But speaking of Patreon, we're doing our Zoom happy hour today. So such a busy day here in quarantine.
Our Zoom account is just really getting its money worth. Jackie paid for a premium Zoom account. And like, honestly, that makes you like, in this day and age, it makes you like a socialite.
Like a Rockefeller. Like I have premium Zoom who wants to hang. I needed to buy it for the redheads because usually they won't kick you off after 45 minutes if it's only two people, but we were four people. And so now I host every Saturday night Zoom, every happy hour, every, you know, Seder. Honestly, it's been a good investment.
It's really nice to know someone with the hookup.
Yeah. And like, you know, if you ever needed to use it, like I'd hook it up and you could borrow.
And that just feels good to know. Like I can fall back on that.
Yeah, for sure.
In a related story to my whole not being able to fall asleep, I'm getting a new mattress tomorrow and I'm so excited. Me and Ben's mattress, like I'm not going to lie, when we bought it, we definitely cheaped out. I want to say Mattress Firm is nothing of the sort. because this bed is like less than 2 years old and it is Lump City. And I went with the finest mattress I could find that would be able to deliver Tempur-Pedic tomorrow. So I will keep everyone updated. I'm very excited for a new bed. I think maybe that'll shift my entire schedule, my entire perspective.
That's an exciting quarantine update for sure. I need something exciting like that. Oh, you know what I did yesterday? I bought some really cool nail colors from Essie, from Target online. And that's really just going to change things around because when I've been watching Vanderpump Rules and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, now I'm envious of their manicures. Last night I was envious of Garcelle's latte, but envious of Erica's manicure. She had this Barbie to pink nail polish on. So I got four really cool summery colors that I think are just going to put a little pep in my step.
I was envious of their breakfast. It looked so good. We are going to recap Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But you know, they sell Essie nail polish at like Duane Reade too.
Yeah, they do, but they don't have all the new colors, you know? And I just wanted the whole collection. And I wanted to choose my colors and they'll come by Saturday. So hopefully.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Fabulous. That like really is something new and exciting for me.
You know what? If quarantine has taught me anything, it's truly just to appreciate the little things in life.
Yeah. And that's what I'm doing. And now that I'm like getting pretty good at my nails, I feel like even after quarantine, I'm going to utilize this new skill. Not all the time, but don't you think there's so many times when like you don't have time to get a manicure, but you're going to like kind of an important dinner. You don't want to show up with chipped nail polish and you just like either panic or you show up with chipped nail polish. That doesn't have to happen for me anymore.
That's actually very true. Something that I'm taking out of quarantine that I have learned that I would love to implement in everyday life is cooking dinner. I just can't believe that like my whole life, well, my adult life, like with Ben, we just order dinner every night. Like it's nothing. And I, first of all, never realized how much money I was spending. Like the amount I would spend on like two takeout dinners is what I spend in groceries for like the week. It's very fulfilling to like use your kitchen. I can't explain it as someone. It sounds so dumb to people. And I have a small kitchen and it literally never occurred to me that it was small. But now that I'm using it so much, I'm like, I need a six stove top. You know, like I'm like, I don't even like there's all these things that I need.
No, I'm in the exact same position. I have such an appreciation for cooking, making my own food because I can eat like better, like more delicious food because I can make it in a more healthy way. Also, my kitchen is tiny. Like we've got to move.
And so yesterday, me and Ben ordered Chinese food. And like now I know the feeling. Like remember that scene right before Charlotte and Harry break up, find out that they are getting a baby from China. She comes into the house and she's like, I'm a bad wife. I picked up Chinese. And it's like, I actually understand that feeling now. Like I was just being like a lazy wife. But I had been working so hard on my meals for the last 4 weeks, like I felt like I deserved to order Chinese.
Of course. I ordered a delicious feast as well last night because I need some protein. I realized I've been eating all carbs because I can't get protein right now because there's no kosher meat and I'm not like crazy about cooking fish. I'm not that good at it. So I ordered some kosher meatballs and it was really good.
Oh, that is good. Where'd you order from? Where was open?
Pita Grill. It was so good.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling like this next week I will be leaning a little bit more into taking out just because I'm like over the stuff in my house. And I only know how to make like four things. So it's like a weekly rotation of the same four things. And it's just getting like a little monotonous.
Yeah, well, maybe you could check out some new recipes. I'm sure the toasters have great recipes. I've been loving getting people's recipes. My favorite thing to do is when someone posts something delicious looking on their Instagram story, like a friend, I just message like, oh my God, this looks so good. Can I have your recipe? And everyone's just sharing recipes. Some people, like my friends have been asking me for my stuffed red pepper recipe. So I take a picture of the home chef card and I send it to them. But it's like a recipe exchange is a fabulous thing.
Yeah, but recipes are interesting because in my journey on cooking, I have now followed three recipes from foodnetwork.com and they were all a piece of garbage, like literal shit. I can't believe that the Food Network has such, like, they should be ashamed of themselves, especially Giada De Laurentiis because I made her bolognese and it was the definition of nothing of the sort. So I agree. I think getting a recipe from a friend, like someone who made it, if you're a toaster and you, and see, here's the thing. I have very limited cooking skills. I have limited ingredients in my house and I have a limited palate. So like, I don't like things with vegetables. I don't like fancy things. So like, if you have a recipe for me that it can be made with chicken, ground beef or ground turkey, or I have some steak actually. And it's simple, like a child would like it and it's easy to make. Please tag me in the Facebook group or something. But other than that, I can't be bothered with, you know, a beef strombone.
I'm glad you admitted that your bolognese was nothing of the sort. And next time you want a bolognese recipe, hit up Kristen because I used her recipe and it was fabulous and easy. So easy.
But you know what I am really good at that I'm not getting sick of is making taco meat. I fucking love tacos. Like, and it's so great the next day for lunch. And I don't know what planet I've been living on that I haven't been eating my tacos with Tostitos chips. Like Ben like brought them to the dinner table one time. And the salt of, you don't even need a shell. Like the salt of a Tostito chip dipped in your like day old taco meat is.
Yeah, that's really good. I know you're crazy about tacos. For me, like I like them here and there, but I don't think I could, I don't think I would ever use my ground meat, which is so precious to me now, to make tacos. Like I'm always going to go meatballs or bolognese.
Yeah. And I just want to say one thing about ground meat. Those who say that ground turkey and ground beef are interchangeable are absolute liars. Like I think that ground turkey should be banned. It's the most disgusting thing. And I have so much in my house. Yeah.
I love ground turkey. Can I have yours?
No, just in case I need it. But like, it's disgusting.
Wow. See? Okay. Well, we've got a great show for you today. We've got Fast Five Stories. We do have five. And then we're going to recap Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and a little bit of Too Hot to Handle. I just want to like talk about some of the main themes I'm seeing because I'm only on like episode 4. But I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, no, it's a fabulous show. And I really appreciate the episodes being under 40 minutes. Like most of them are like in the 30s. And that just makes it so much easier to watch. Like I really liked Love is Blind, but there were so many episodes and they were like over an hour. And it was just like a big undertaking. And in quarantine, I'm not in the mood for undertakings.
Oh, I'm very, like, I'm in the mood for undertakings. And I didn't even notice the episode length because I just do Play Next. You know? You like really look at the lengths of things.
I like don't have a long attention span.
No, you don't. Well,
I don't.
That's that on that.
Are you waiting for me to say something?
No.
Okay, I'm waiting for you to say something.
Okay, without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. First story is an exciting story. It's a little quarantine programming that I think is very in tune with what's necessary. Sorry, I was getting all my toast phrases jumbled. I'm like, pertinent to the necessary. Okay. Eddie Murphy and Adam Sandler join the star-studded Feeding America comedy live stream. Eddie Murphy is back on the stand-up comedy circuit after a long break, and soon he'll be in your living room. The legendary comedian, along with Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, Tiffany Haddish, Howie Mandel, Billy Crystal, Kevin Hart, Marc Maron, Marlon Wayans, Margaret Cho, Tim Meadows, John Lovitz, and more have joined the star-studded lineup of the Feeding America Comedy Festival, which was put together by Byron Allen, a former comedian, producer, and CEO of the Allen Media Group. The May 19th charity event, which is co-produced by Funny or Die, will involve the comedians performing live stream sets from their own homes to raise money for Feeding America.
Okay, I have two things to say. One, in that lineup that you just announced, there was one woman. Like, if that is not a stunning indictment on the state of comedy, Margaret Cho, and who else?
Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, okay. Two women. Like, my God, like they couldn't have asked me. And two, I think this is fabulous. Like of all the things that like celebrities have tried to put together for us, like that we don't need, this is not one of them. Like comedians, I think are like a separate part of Hollywood where like, I'm not feeling resentful towards them. Like to me, they still are very much like have firm grips in reality. They haven't become like Hollywood, like Ellens yet. So I think this is going to be so funny. I would love for Tracy Morgan to be involved and I'm just unclear why he's not.
Well, there's still some time for some additions, just like how Eddie Murphy was just added. Also, I'm so excited for this because when I was watching the One World event on Saturday night and like the Stevens and the Jimmys were hosting. And I said to Zach, and they were like, you know, trying their usual jokes, but it just wasn't hitting. And I said to Zach, like, why can't they get like an actual comedian? Like Kevin Hart would make this funny and it would, you know, not be cringy. And here we are, like my prayers have been answered. I'm so excited for this. I think this is exactly what we need right now.
Yeah, like to be honest, when you said there was like another programming announcement, I was like, great, more blurry videos of people who don't know how to use cell phones like on cable. But this actually sounds fabulous and I'm really, really, I'm definitely going to watch it. Even though I have a confession.
What?
I don't think Billy Crystal's funny.
I'm like, I don't think I've ever been privy to his work. I don't know him.
It's just like not my brand. It's like so old man comedy, like I'm over it.
That's fine. It seems as though there's something for everyone.
Yes, of course.
I do think that the programming, though, like we started at like that iHeart living room concert to now where we're at with like Disney family sing-along, like I think it's getting better.
For sure.
So that's good. People are getting like better equipment in their houses. You like see, I don't know, people who do TV shows, they've got the mics, they've got cameras, teleprompters. I feel like we're getting somewhere.
We're definitely making strides towards betterness.
Yeah, but I also feel, thank you for that profound statement.
Strides towards betterness.
I also am now like grateful that we have actually a really good remote podcasting situation set up. And now when you go on tour again, like it won't be such a cluster because we've totally got protocols in place.
And I feel like the world has really adjusted and like lowered their bar for quality content.
I agree with that.
Thanks,
like,
it's guys.
Like, oh, I can understand what you're saying. It works.
Yeah, I could kind of see you, like the shapes of your nose and stuff. Sure, that works.
Yeah. Did you see on our Instagram now, I'm no longer posting like the Zoom collage of us because it's just, nobody needs to see that. Absolutely.
It's depressing.
Asked for it, nobody wants it. So now I'm just posting unseen photos of us from this time last year where we were glamorous. And I just think that that's more exciting.
Were we at Coachella or Stagecoach this time last year?
We were preparing for Stagecoach. I was looking at my time hop and I had all my like outfit try on pictures. So many outfits. I'm so glad I didn't wear. Like
Coachella.
But then they totally hit. I miss Stagecoach. I don't like miss Coachella, obviously, because that was total work. But Stagecoach was, those were the fucking Hallelujah nights. And I don't know when we're going to have a Hallelujah night again.
We are having a Hallelujah night. Every time I had two White Claws last night and listened to your Quarantine's playlist, and I'm like known for making plans when I'm drunk and then like not wanting to do them when I'm sober. And like I swear to myself, I'm like, no, I'm going to wake up and want to do it. And then I don't. But Fire Away came on and I just like wanted to be like at a bonfire at night. Like it doesn't even have to be warm. Like I wanted like a chilly night bonfire where we're like looking up at the sky, listening to music, drinking beer. And it made me like actually depressed.
That is all that I want is a fire, bon, candle.
Or otherwise.
I don't care. Or otherwise. Like that is
fire in a trash bin.
Oh my God. Sounds fabulous. Okay. Next up, Lady Gaga unveils the tracklist for her sixth studio album, Chromatica, featuring songs with Ariana Grande, Elton John, and Blackpink. Okay, this is exciting, even though it's not really anything, and if it happened not in quarantine, I would never choose this as a story. Yesterday, you know, it was the most exciting thing that happened all day because we got the tracklist for her album. She has some sweet collabs. I'm excited about all three of these. I actually think I'm most excited for the Blackpink collab. I think that song is going to be flames, like everything. I'm curious to see what her and Ari do together because I feel like they have such different styles, mm-hmm. but I'm looking forward to it nonetheless.
I think I'm most looking forward to Elton John's collab. I just think that's, first of all, so cool for Lady Gaga and cool for Elton John. I think it's going to be fabulous. The cover art was also released. She's like in a pink wig. Her legs look so long. She's wearing like her classic Gaga heels. It was very much like a LG1 homage. Like she's definitely going back to like dance club electric, which I'm totally here for. But I was really surprised at the comments on our Instagram, like so negative about the album cover. Like, what's wrong?
Okay, I hadn't seen the album cover until just now. I had seen the other picture where she's like in the she's in that like metal grate or whatever, but now I'm looking at the album cover. It's like you said, it's LG1. Like there's no progression, I feel.
But that's who she is. It's like she did all these things and she decided like that's what she wants to do.
Yeah. I just feel like it's not revolutionary and everything that she does is revolutionary.
Maybe she's tired. Like she's just constantly
I agree.
Boundaries.
She's constantly rebranding. She does art pop. Everybody hates it because it's too much. So she scales back. She does Joanne. It's not enough, even though it's the perfect album. And she's just like, fuck you all. I am who I am. Here are my claw hands and my Alexander McQueen heels.
Yeah. Like, I think she's tired and she's been like on the circuit, like Oscar, club, bus, another club, bus. Do you know that TikTok?
No
sleep, club, another club, bus, club, another club, bus, no sleep. It's Lady Gaga, like when she was in an interview talking about it in her early days when she was like doing clubs and they were like, what's it like? She's like, club, another bus, club.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I just feel like she's over it. Like she's just been doing the most and absolutely nobody has been appreciating it except for us.
Well, no, I don't think she's over it. And I think people appreciate it. But I think she's had this whole arc. She's done it all. She did the Super Bowl. She won an Oscar, right, for that song. And so now the ball's in her court and she's just doing what she wants. She's not worried about what she thinks people want from her. But I think she also does know that everyone will always be happy when we're getting LG1 Fame Monster Born This Way vibes. And so that's what she's serving up on platter.
You know, I'm very excited for it. Like, that album Born This Way, really defined an important part of my life. And I'm hoping that LG6 can do the same. Like, I'm hoping I'm out of quarantine by the time it comes out and I could have a fabulous summer with it.
Yeah. I need a fabulous summer with it. Like, just supporting local businesses and getting back out there in a socially distant way. Cause I can't imagine how we're going to be able to feel comfortable, you know, going out and stuff.
I don't even know. I think the thing I will struggle with the most is embracing people. I already think people are gross and will be limited with my hugs and stuff. But now I have a good excuse. I even the friends that I like, I just don't know if I'll ever hug and kiss them like I used to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to, I've never worth hugging and kissing them. So that won't be a big transition for me, but it's just going to, everyone's going to have this awareness all the time, I feel. It's not going to be such an easy transition for us, mentally, just to step out and, hit the scene. It's not going to be like that.
It's not going to be like that, which makes me sad because as a girl who, used to love stepping out, hitting the scene, it's going to be transitional.
It's going to be transitional, but I look forward to supporting our local businesses soon.
I'm really looking forward to supporting the shit out of them.
Okay. Next up, Julianne Hough is talking about self-isolating without her husband, Brooks Laich. She said, I'm really enjoying this time. I know you don't have time for this, but the story is everywhere. Her and her husband are there's something weird happening. They're not quarantining together, which tells you everything
but
you need to
know. But they were. They were. And then they were being thirsty with the People magazine articles. Now they're not. And they're being thirsty again with the People magazine articles. I can't keep up. I don't even know who Brooks Laich is. And to be honest, Julianne Hough is really making me hate her.
I know she is. I know. But you know what? I'm going to hold on a little bit more hope for her because I really like her that much. And I'm patient. You know, I'm a patient little stan. Julianne Hough is enjoying her her time self-distancing amid coronavirus while her husband, Brooks Laich, does the same in Idaho. She opened up about her experience social distancing, telling Oprah Magazine she's really enjoying this time in her life where she can connect to what's really important in her life. Being on tour for 3 months and traveling and starting a business, it's a lot. So to be able to be home and stop and pause and look inward and connect back to myself has been glorious. I've been on my own. I just don't know. Does this journey end with them just totally divorced and it was the most drawn out separation ever? Or does it end with them back together being more well-rounded human beings for having spent time apart? Also, do we care either way?
Yeah, no. I mean, I care because I actually loved her wedding, aesthetically, the lake. I remember just looking at those photos and being inspired. I just thought it was beautiful. So, that would make me sad.
100%. That was, my dream wedding, and I knew in no life would I ever have a wedding like that because that's just, not who I am. You know what I mean? Where would I get this farm? Do I have back for this farm?
But the articles that I've read say that, the break in their relationship has to do with, him exploring his sexuality. Which is good for him, but I feel he should have done that before he got married. But again, everyone's on their own journey. So I'm really over this. I don't really care. It's just so funny when I think about Julianne Hough in a vacuum. Did I think she was going to be the celebrity with one of the most dysfunctional dating histories out there? No, I didn't. I didn't see that for her, but that's what she's turning into.
Yeah. The piece about him exploring his sexuality is interesting because that's not mentioned in this article and they're just talking about social distancing while he's doing yard work and she's in California and it's is he with someone exploring his sexuality out there?
Yeah. And they were very open about the sexuality thing because I had read a couple blinds about him that were totally unproven, but then they were open. They were doing articles talking about how Brooks is exploring his sexuality.
Yeah. It was everywhere.
So. I'm not making this up.
No. I'm sure it's the first thing when you Google him. He also has a podcast. So I'm sure he talks about it, but
maybe that's what's keeping him busy.
Oh, for sure. It keeps us busy.
Yes, it does.
Except we do it every day. I fail to realize that most people who podcast do it once a week, you know, and that we're actually not in the same boat at all.
What a gift.
Imagine if we just did it once a week though.
It would have to be 6 hours long.
I know. I would not like that at all. It's like even the redheads, it's not often enough, but now we're up to 2 a month. So I'm happy. This was my sneaky way of getting them to do more episodes.
Okay. You started the pandemic.
This next story is crazy, exciting, a little aviation news and innovation. Could one silver lining, according to my newsletter, could one silver lining of coronavirus be the end of the dreaded middle seat in coach? United is the latest airline to say it will start blocking middle seats in aircraft cabins as a way to give the flying passengers more room apart. One airline seat manufacturer just introduced new economy seating concepts that could become the new way forward in a post-corona world. They include middle seats that are flipped around, staggered seats, and protective glass shields around each headrest.
Okay, I never had any reason to think this, but now that you brought it up, like, the airline industry is 100% to blame for the spread of this pandemic. Like, the way that they herd people into economy like they're fucking cattle, having no respect for their personal space, like, the lack of oxygen, like, of course they were involved. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, I mean, they were involved because people, like, had to travel from one country to another in order to spread it, so, like,
maybe, yeah. Though, if they were treating people who had the virus like humans, they would have affected one or two people, not everyone on the plane.
Yeah. Like, I agree. It's not great conditions, but, like, it would have got here. They're not responsible for this, but they're definitely, like, a breeding ground for anyone who is sick.
And this is what they get for not treating us like human beings. Like, the way they just, like, shove us all in.
This is a long time coming. Like, the airline industry, as it stands right now, it's so expensive, and what you get to be treated like an animal, like, I'm just not interested. Like, I'd rather stay home and treat myself like a human being. So I think, like, they're revolutionizing their way of doing things. It's time.
So if they're going to rotate the middle seat, then the middle seat is looking at the aisle and the window in the row behind them.
The middle seat is looking at the aisle and so the photo that I'm seeing now, it's like the middle, I don't know. I wouldn't mind looking at people as long as they're not breathing on me.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem like a perfect formula.
I'll send you this article with some seating arrangements. They have some prototypes.
Because I think it could be, instead of three people, three rows on each, it could be two.
I mean, I've been saying that for so long. It seems so obvious. Two aisle.
That way there's no middle seat. There's only aisles and two windows.
Yeah. I think it requires, like, a little bit of a wider plane because now you have two aisles. But okay.
Okay. We need TPG wide it up here. I'm curious on his thoughts.
Yeah. You should send him this article. Okay. Fifth and final story. Just news that I think is so crazy. NFL is bracing for a virtual draft amid the coronavirus lockdown. So tonight would have been the NFL draft, a big balls out spectacle in Sin City. And instead, Roger Goodell will be announcing picks from his basement. And our husbands will be watching, like, with eyes wide
big
open.
Breath. I think this. Can you imagine working your whole life to get to the NFL? Like, through college, you had a scholarship. You woke up every morning, 6 a.m., running suicides, only to be drafted to the NFL in a basement.
I don't think that you work that hard for the actual draft. Like, you work, that would be like, you work that hard for, you know, the games and the play, and they're going to get that eventually. But, like,
No, but, like, your whole life, like, you try to get to the NFL. And, like, the moment that you get there, it's usually this, like, huge spectacle. Like, people reference it as, like, the best day of their lives. Like, you're literally just, like, watching a screen in someone's basement.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, like, the reality of life now. It's so crazy. Like, think of all the games that even, like, college basketball players, like, they would have had championships around this time, the March Madness. Imagine working so hard for that and then not even getting to play, like, in your senior year in your, like, biggest game ever.
Yeah. What age do you think is best to be right now? Like, I would not want to be a senior in high school because, like, there are so many things that are, like, so fun and it really is, like, the best year of your life. I was joking with you, like, a few weeks ago that I think if I could pick any age to be right now, I would want to be a sophomore in high school. Like, I would probably love being at home. I hate school. But actually, like, school is really not that bad. I think I'm happy with the age that I'm at. Like, having a job, like, whatever your job is, like, it's not that bad missing it.
No, I agree with that. I go back and forth. Like, on the one hand, I kind of want to be in third grade and I'm just like, no, school, this rocks. But then I'm just probably like annoying everyone around me. I think actually right now is a good time to be pregnant, because when you're pregnant, like, you have to miss a lot of stuff and, you know, everyone's going out and partying and you can't be there. And now it's like no one's doing anything. And so, like, you get these months of pregnancy that are kind of like freebies because you're not missing anything.
Yeah. And so, going off of that, I have an announcement. No kidding.
And I also think, even though I think it must be so hard to have kids in quarantine, like little kids, babies, toddlers, like they require your full attention. I can't even, like, my hats go off to those parents. I do think, like, this is an amazing time. If you're a working parent and, like, right now you're home, you're spending so much time with, like, your newborn or your baby or your toddler, time that you would never get to spend with them. I think it's really like a once in a lifetime thing. And so, even though I'm sure it is taxing as hell, I feel like it's a great time to be a new parent and, like, get to see, you know, your child grow up in front of your eyes, something that you might have missed if you were working every day as normal.
Right. Like, I know someone whose maternity leave, like, ended last week, but we're not going back to work, so she's able to, like, spend time with her newborn. And honestly, that's pretty special.
Yeah, I was FaceTiming when I was doing my virtual training session with Matt. He's a new dad. And he was just talking about, he's like getting to see his, like, daughter grow up, like, you know, do new things every day, develop her personality. He would have never gotten to spend this amount of time with her otherwise. So I think that's pretty cool. So it must be cool to be a new parent right now.
You know, and I know, like, I specifically complain about quarantine a lot, but I actually don't mind it.
I've gotten, like, really in a good rhythm. Like, I'm actually, I feel like when it's time to come out, even though I'm so excited, I feel like I'm not going to know what to do with myself. And, like, there's going to be so much pressure to, like, stay out all the time. But, like, I love it here.
You know, and I've worked so hard, like, every day cleaning, scrubbing, like, to make this place warm, comfortable, and, like, a safe environment. Like, I'm just going to leave.
Yeah. I also feel like people our age, we're actually probably, even though I'm sure other people look at people our age and, like, they're living the dream, they're drinking, zooming, blah, blah, blah. I feel like we're the people making the least out of our quarantine situations, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely, like, on the bottom of the list of the world.
Yeah. I feel like also people our age are getting a lot of dogs right now. And it's really also a great time to get a new dog because you get to spend all that time with them, train them, which you would never get to do if you were working. So
yeah, like, shelters across the country being empty is, like, literally the greatest thing to have happened to the world. Let's dive into our TV recap segment. Last night was the second episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Most of the housewives were back in Beverly Hills. It was just another fabulous episode where my taste for Sutton Strack grew even larger.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to start with the first scene we see her in when she goes to this super fancy restaurant with Kyle. Was that not the most awkward dinner you've ever seen? Like, their conversation was so just, like, stymied and forced and, like, it sounded like they were talking via Zoom.
Yeah, and Sutton, like, you know, and I forgot to mention this last week, the way that Denise spoke to the waiter at the restaurant at their hotel, like, about the reposado, like, I really didn't like that. But she did just get, like, some really bad news from Teddy, and, like, I was giving her a little bit of leeway, but, like, you learn a lot about a person based on how they speak to waiters, waitresses, like, hotel concierge, like, anyone. So I really didn't like that. And I just thought, like, the way that Sutton was, like, being so, like, playfully condescending to the waiter, like, about her drink, like, with the pale pink, that means less vodka, more other stuff. And then, like, making him take the drink away, like, it just gave me, like, a bad vibe about her based off of the vibe that I already had, which is that she's, like, not cool and she's condescending and she, like, has money and apparently has a lot of it and doesn't know how to act because she was being an animal at her own party. And I'm really getting a bad vibe.
Yeah, but I think she, you know, not every housewife can be perfect. And it's like those moments where one housewife is acting, like, beyond strange and then the other ones are like, those are the best ones. Like when she was dealing with the mayor of West Hollywood who, like, didn't know her name and that was so crazy. And then Erica and Dorit were looking at each other. That was hilarious. So also I read some stuff about Sutton. So I think the deal is with her, she was meant to be a full-time cast member. They filmed in her house with her kids, etc. Then some, like, legal stuff is going, like, with her contract was going on with her husband because I think of the amount that they could film, like, about him or whatever. And so they needed to do some reshoots for her stuff in order to make her, like, at-home package suitable for housewives. But they can't do reshoots right now. So they just she didn't get, you know, diamond, and she doesn't have a tagline, and but she was meant to, and so she's on every trip and she's given the time of every housewife, but she just doesn't have it because they couldn't like tie up those loose ends because of quarantine. That's what I read.
So I wonder if she'll be at the reunion like permanently, or like she'll come on as a guest.
It'll depend on her storyline in the season, but as it stands right now, it seems like the season's all about Denise. I'm not like curious to hear what Sutton thinks about it.
That makes sense, because when she sent a, when they showed a picture of her and her ex-husband, his face was blurred out, which was very weird.
Yeah. So I think they couldn't get all their ducks in a row there, and then it became too late.
Yeah. So I just like wasn't liking her. Like that conversation with the mayor made me want to die. And for someone who's so, she's just one of those people, and this is like a running theme in Housewife, who talks so much about like manners and elegance and all that stuff, but does things that are so ungraceful. Like the way she was like, oh, you're the mayor. It's like, this is your store opening. Like, be like, that's not classy at all. That's not Southern manners. Like that was real, real tacky.
Yeah, she just has this like lack of self-awareness about her, like as about her personality, that doesn't sit with me. But you never know. Like, I'm gonna give her a little bit more of a chance. Not everyone can just be like perfect right off the bat, like Garcelle.
Right. And by the way, the little nugget that we got about Garcelle's email husband thing, like, first of all, when she said her husband was having an affair and then she said for 5 years, like my heart actually sank. They were married for 9, like half of her marriage was a fucking sham. Like, I totally understood why she went crazy and wrote that email, and I think it was totally justified. And like, fuck her husband. And her new house that she's moving into by herself is nicer than the one she's currently living in. So I was just really happy for her. But that was like a crazy tidbit that I didn't know.
No, I didn't know it either. And I'm sure like we could Google and find out a bunch of stuff. I'm sure it was a huge story at the time. I love, like, I just, her energy that she's coming in with is so exciting. I love that she wants to be set up, because I feel like that will be a really exciting storyline. Like, all these women have husbands who have friends. Like, let's get this girl a billionaire. When Erica said it, I was like, yes, yes,
yes. And the friendship, like, I see it's just like real, recognizing real. And I think the two of them are going to become a powerhouse. And their conversation, first of all, was everything. Like, the fact that Erica got choked up, like, she got choked up twice in the episode, and both times I felt it was so earnest and like so sincere when she was just talking about how like everyone has something to say about her marriage, but like Tom is the best guy she's ever known. She like took in Erica's son when him and Erica first got together, and like it meant so much to him, and like everyone's just always like, even like, she didn't mean to be rude, but Garcelle was like, what's your sex life like? And I'm sure it's like genuine curiosity from people because she's married to an 80-year-old, but like, I love Tom. Like, I just love him, and I love her, and I love the respect that she has for him. And people say so much about their relationship, like Housewives fans, but like, to me, they're solid.
To me, they're solid. Like, you could say what you want to say about, you know, a 40-year-old woman, and or how old is she? Like 45, and he's 80. But the fact is what she said, they've been married for 20 years. Like, you give me 20 years of marriage with anyone, and I will respect it.
Totally. Like, she just came out swinging last night, especially in her confessionals, just defending her man, which is what I've been waiting for. So like, I am here for it.
Here for it. Like, if the two people at the lake house from the Dear Toasters episode yesterday are married for 20 years, like, respect.
We have no choice. Also, when she was in their kitchen and she gave her lawyer, aka Tom, the copy of the Broadway agreement, and she was just like crying, and he was like, I'm so proud of you. He's coming out every 2 weeks. Like, we never get to see that. Like, I saw her on Broadway. Well, I didn't see her, but like, I knew she was here on Broadway. I didn't even know Tom was there, but he was apparently there every 2 weeks. Like, and she was crying in the kitchen. Like, I was crying so hard. Like, I thought that was beautiful. Like, from the Shakers to Broadway.
I feel like she's made the decision this season to open up more, like emotionally, and also her house and her life more. And it's really, it's lovely to watch, because she's so well-rounded, because she's so fun and cool and Erica and glamorous and fabulous, but she's also like solid as a rock. You know, she has this just like constitution about her where she's so moral and good, and to see every side of her is really nice.
Yeah, and she was on Watch What Happens Live with Meghan McCain, and I haven't really been watching that much Watch What Happens Live at home, but I think I was wrong. I think I misjudged it, because it was so good and so funny. Like, I was laughing like a normal episode, and first of all, Meghan McCain had such interesting insight about Leah McSweeney that I'll get to in a minute, but they did a segment called What Makes Erica Cry, and Andy was like asking her, like, do you cry from like the ASPCA commercials? And she was like, yeah. And Andy was like, do you cry from those videos of soldiers coming home and surprising their kids? And she was like, yeah. And he was like, do you cry from like videos of dogs on the internet, like doing cute things? She said, no. It was really very, very funny. And she was being like really open. She was being, and she looked sickening. Like, literally her hair and makeup was perfect.
Do you think she had glam, or she did it herself?
She had glam. Like, her hair was too perfect. Literally, I DM'd her. I'm like, your fucking hair. And she said it was all her own hair. I'm like, oh my God, you looked amazing. It was very natural. Like, I just thought, I don't know why I was so taken with this look. And she was wearing this like graffiti long sleeve shirt. She looked like the best I'd ever seen her, especially the best I'd seen anyone on a Zoom.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to watch it then. I have them all recorded. What did Meghan McCain say about Leah McSweeney?
Oh, so Andy was getting like Meghan's hot takes. That's how they like chant in all the fucking
games. Yeah, no, I love it.
What was
she wearing?
So he was getting like hot takes from Meghan on like all the housewife drama in the franchise, like what she thought of New Jersey. And then he was like, what do you think of the new New York housewife, Leah? And Meghan was like, I actually know her because she wrote this like huge expose about the founders of the Women's March. There was like this huge expose done on them that like the three women who founded or the two women were actually like closeted anti-Semites. And there was like this huge expose and Leah McSweeney wrote the article about it.
Oh my God. That's
it was
dope. Crazy.
Andy was shook. Like Andy was like, what?
Oh my. So Meghan likes her.
Yeah. Meghan likes her. Meghan has like, I pretty much had like the same takes as her. She was being really funny. Like she's like not inherently like an effervescent person. And I think she talks about housewives, like the way she's on The View, like talking about like abortion. So like she was being so cutthroat. Like it was actually such a good episode, but then they did the weirdest thing. They played this game and instead of Andy like asking the questions, they brought in some guy. He was like the 15th congressional congressman of like a district in California. It was the most random thing ever.
Okay, I'm going to watch it today. So
it was good. You'll enjoy it.
I'll see what you're talking about. Okay, back to Real Housewives. Then the other big thing that happened was Teddy's invitation to all.
And Dorit's finances we need to talk about.
Oh my God. Okay, we need to talk about that too. But let's just talk about Teddy really quickly because it's like she just tries to be chill and then it's like the least chill text ever. And then she's like, I don't care if you come. I don't care if you don't come. And it's like, wait, so you don't care if we come? Why are we invited? Like,
yeah, like I couldn't tell what. If she actually just wanted the women there, like, because they're filming, they would have to go. So if she just invited them, they would all go and they would, like, begrudgingly be doing the activities. But at first, when she sent the text, I'm like, you know what? That's actually really nice because if somebody invited me to something like that, like, I wouldn't want to go. But if everyone was going, like, I would feel pressure. So the way she sent the text, I thought at first was nice, but it was clear that she didn't mean that. Like, why was she being so weird about this? And then she just, like, couldn't stop putting her foot in her mouth at Sutton's store opening.
So weird. It's like she doesn't know just how to be chill. And I feel like I could send that text like, listen, I have this thing going on. Like if you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, that's totally fine. And that would be it. And no one would like question it. But I feel like there's something about her personality where it's like we know for a fact that she feels not like how she sent. It was just really like strange.
Yeah, and I understand why she doesn't want the women who aren't going to, like, be into the activities to come because, like, it'll put her business, like, maybe in a negative light. Like, I totally get that. So I don't know why she just didn't, like, stick with that mentality. Like, if she wanted people to come, genuinely, like, she should have just made everyone come. But if she really didn't care, like, what's with the follow-up conversation? It was so weird.
It was so weird.
But we need to talk about Dorit's finances because I am so invested. Like her new house is so nice. Like at first I was like, looks just like, honestly, for a second, I thought it looked like Jackson Brittany's house. But then when they showed it from the back, it's like a $7 million mansion. It's so nice. It has a theater. Like it's obviously, it's not as nice, as the one that they were living in. Like the one that they were living in, J-Lo used to own. Like it was a real Hollywood Beverly Hills house. And I don't know where this new house is and I don't know LA real estate, but I'm sure there's a difference.
There's a difference. You can see the difference, but also they were renting that house. And so you were always able to, if you're renting something, like you're able to get something nicer than you would be afford to live in if you're buying it. But it's also just like flushing money down the toilet. So at first when I saw her house, I was like, whose house is this? Like, is this Beverly Hills still? And then they showed it from the back. And when she described it as a modern farmhouse and we saw all the like details, I actually really loved it. It reminded me a lot of Kristen Cavallari's old house on Barry Cavallari. And I'm into the new house. I'm very into the new house. And the old house was kind of like a joke because everyone knew they didn't own it. And it was like, we're just waiting. And it's like, it stressed me out. I like the energy of this new house for her.
Yeah. And you know, most houses in LA are like not, unless you're like an actual billionaire, you can have like a very, very fancy house. And the front looks like a shack. Like it's always like even Teddy's house from the front, it just looks like a house, but from the back, it's like a three level thing. Like that's like the vibe in LA. So I really actually do like her house. I want to believe her that there's nothing wrong with her finances, but like, I don't know why so many people would be saying so many things if there wasn't like a little element of truth.
I want to believe her that there's nothing going on. And you know what? Like, I feel like I could have given her the benefit of the doubt, but like the producer sat them down, asked them very straightforward questions, and their answers sucked.
Yeah.
And like that's coming from someone who wants to believe them. And like they did just buy a $7 million house. And also like if they're having all of these troubles and they don't have money and they're con artists and now they've been on TV for a few seasons, like why aren't they arrested?
Yeah. Also, I think that like the worst thing you can do is when you're trying to like play something off and someone asks you a direct question, because when the producer was like, why is the house in your name and not in PK's? And Dorit was like, well, is your house in your name or is it in your and your wife's name? Like, that is how I know you're lying about something.
Yeah, it was just their answer sucked and like they could have done a better job. And like now when they were sitting there and the producer was like, you know, frauds, con artists, blah, blah, blah. I'm like looking at them. I'm like, are these people like going to be on American Greed next season? Like it was the first time I ever had any doubts. Like, and I've read the articles, but you know what? Things happen all the time, like with financial frozen, like, especially when you have legal troubles, like Dorit was having, like we read about the Housewives, Erica and Tom were having some drama, Kyle and Mauricio. Like I'm able to like push it to the side because sometimes everything is fluid and you know, there's ups and downs. But last night's episode, like actually was the first time I was like, what?
Yeah, and you just know, like, Camille Grammer is watching that episode and just, like, living for it.
Yeah, they didn't do themselves any favors. Like, they had an opportunity to explain, you know, and they did a terrible job.
And even their explanation about how, like, when PK built this company, $2 billion, like, it was just so fake.
No, it's like, I'm sure that was amazing, like, when it happened 10 years ago, but what have you been doing since then? And the fact that he was once running a company worth $2 billion actually doesn't help him because it shows that, like, that's the life he's used to living. So, like, even when he's not at that peak, like, he's going to do anything to live that life. I don't know.
Yeah, but, like, that was their explanation where they never finished the story. They're like, he was running a $2 billion business. And then, like, there was no closure to that story.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe like
that end.
I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that the producers maybe like want us to feel ambiguous about it and see how things play out. But I also feel like in Beverly Hills, they do a good job of keeping the women's, like this must have gotten to a point where they couldn't ignore it anymore. You know, like we never heard about Erica and Tom's lawsuit or all the stuff that goes down with the agency. Like they don't talk about it, but they felt like they needed to talk about it and that's what they left us with. And I feel like there's something there they want us to know.
On that sad red carpet at Sutton's store opening, like with Dorit going through all that, I don't even know why she stopped and spoke to the reporters. Like nobody else did.
Yeah. I think that was one of Dorit's best looks ever. So if I looked like that and I were her, I would have talked to every single reporter, take my picture, write me in your magazine, whatever it has to takes. Don't let this look go to waste.
On Watch What Happens Live, they asked Megan and Erica to rate Dorit's style, and they both gave her a 9.
In general?
Yeah, well, Erica said she gave her a 9 because only Erica's a 10.
Oh, that's cute. But Dorit is also a 10. And I honestly love that Dorit and Erica have such different styles. Like, they're both a 10 out of 10, but on completely, like, different sorts of vibes.
Oh, sorry. One last thing about Sutton. Couture.
Like,
She's just so cringy.
And when Erica was like, it's obnoxious to say that it's couture and it still doesn't look good.
Totally. Like, I just, and you know, I went on BravoTV.com and I watched Sutton's home tour. She honestly is a very similar, it's bigger and like not as modern, but a similar house layout to Dorit's new house. It's like white and normal from the front, but then the back, but you can tell she's on like a bigger piece of land. It's like an older house. It's probably in a better area. And the decoration was like so Southern. I couldn't take it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I want to watch that because I need some context for this woman.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure her out. Like, I just can't.
Well, it's only episode 2. Like, I don't think we're supposed to have her figured out. That's why I'm not going to rush to make any judgments.
But I have Garcelle figured out. I know everything about her. She's fabulous.
She's everything of the sort. That's all there is to know.
I feel like there's two types of people who go onto reality TV, like people who like have like things holding them back, like skeletons in their closet almost. And then like Garcelle, who's just like diving into it. Like she's an open book. She like on the second episode talked about what was obviously like her biggest tragedy in her life, like her husband having an affair and then that whole email thing. Like I just feel like she's going about it like totally the right way. And I'm so excited for her new house.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch her story play out. Let's talk about Too Hot to Handle really quickly. I don't think everyone has had time to watch it. I am not finished, but I just want to say, like, I'm episode 3 in. Like, I'm obsessed with Francesca and Haley. Like, I know they're maybe supposed to be the villains, but they're so funny. Like, everyone is being lame. And also, like, I've started to think about this money thing. It's $100,000 split between at what was at first 10 people. 10. Now it's 11 people. But let's even start with the 10. That means that if you don't ever fuck up, you get $10,000. After taxes, you get around, I'm going to say $5,000. But now another person's coming into the house. We know later more people come into the house. Like, it's $5,000. When you boil it down, a kiss after taxes is about $150 per person. So if I'm Francesca and I'm taking a shower with Kels and he's not kissing me and it's like, I'm not worth $150?
So here's the thing about the money. And I'm not going to – I finished it and I have so many thoughts. I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but the money, they never make it clear what the rules are in the beginning. And only at the end do you find out who gets the money and how much they get. It's very ambiguous. It's like at the end, the money is like irrelevant. It's so weird. Like, it's this ambiguous thing. And then they only tell everyone at the end, like, these kids didn't even know what they were competing for.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. And also, it's like, they didn't come on this show to win money. Like, with Are You the One or other shows that are contests like that, like, you go on the show, you know that if you follow the rules, like, you will win. The group wins $1 million, you win about $35,000. But when you're coming on a show just to, like, have sex on an island and people are like, you can have sex on the island or you can get this money that you didn't know was there and now there's all these, like, weird rules with it and strings attached. Like, have sex. I don't know. It's just, if they wanted to really make it enticing, they should have made it in $1 million pop, because to get, like, jumbled over $150 kiss, if someone wouldn't kiss me for $150, to give up $150, like, I'm not worth $150.
Yeah. The conversation you're having, you need to finish to, in order to really have, like, because it's so weird. You'll see. So I don't want to spoil anything, but I would love to get your hot take.
It gets even worse. Like, there's no real incentive. I mean, they act like, I don't know. It's just, it's not adding up. Also, I agreed with your Instagram story. The narrator talks way too much. They're trying to make it like Love Island, where they have, like, a funny narrator and use pop music. And instead, like, this show has a condescending narrator and uses license-free music. But I like some of the cast and I like the setup so far, but there's just, like, something about it. And maybe I just need to watch more. And maybe it's just because the person that I like is, like, the villain and nobody's nice to her.
Yeah, you'll see. But with the narrator, like, I actually like not having, like, a Nick and Vanessa Lachey. Like, I like just – they cut time. Like, the episodes are really concise. Like, I like that. But the girl chimes in way too much. And for every 5 jokes she has, one of them is funny. Like, the rest are so condescending. She's just always making fun of everyone's intelligence. Like, I am not into the narrator. I need, like, 50% less narrator. And I like the concept of, like, remote, like, Lana. And I read an article. They only had 5 cameras on, like, cameramen or women on the actual retreat. The other scenes were filmed, like, from remote, like, security camera, basically. So it was like they left them alone. There was no host. And I liked that. But at some points, like, Lana was talking so motherfucking slow, like, especially towards the end when she's telling me who won. She goes, and.
Okay, wait. I didn't know it was like that. So I'm going to watch that today.
Who do you like?
And then we'll recap it. Okay, so I really like, for the girls, I love Fran and Haley. I love their friendship. They're hilarious. And they kissed. And then they were like, that was the best time I ever had in this whole house with these people that I hate. I was laughing so hard. The two British girls, Chloe is fine. I know you don't like her. But so far, she's just, like, funny and silly. And she's fine. I actually like all the girls. I like Rhonda, too. I think she has such a good head on her shoulders. And she's making smart choices. Like, her and Sharon obviously have a connection. But, like, if he's not going to be emotionally available towards her, she's going to explore her options, which led her to David, who I actually think is the most eligible man on that beach. Like, he's just so in tune with himself. And he's so good looking and nice. And but then ultimately, like, Rhonda and Sharon are super cute together, and she, like, feels more towards him. And right now they just got back together on the beach in, like, the most beautiful scene I've ever seen in my life. And then I hate Harry. Like, I think he's such a loser. He's just so immature. They don't tell you their ages, by the way.
But, oh, totally. Do you know that Chloe, because I couldn't sleep last night, I was going on a major thing. Chloe just turned 21. This was filmed in 2019. I believe she was 19 years old when they were filming it.
Oh my God. That's crazy. So I think Harry is also 19 years old, but Francesca's, like, way too mature for him. I actually liked her in Kels, but I don't think they actually, like, have any sort of emotional connection. What other guys are there? Oh, then the new Byron Bryce, he is I thought he was going to show up with his like closest thing to a dad bod we see on that beach. And I thought he was going to like, you know, be sweet. And instead it's like, I fuck a new girl every night. And the next morning I'm like, get out of here. I need a new girl.
Yeah. No. And his boat, like, it's just so funny because to be honest, like
Haley was like, he lives on a boat. I don't know if that means he's rich or he's broke. I was like, true.
So true. I mean, it's just so funny because I finished it and like, I honestly felt the exact same way about almost everyone, except I immediately hated Chloe and she gets so much worse. Like, you're literally going to hate her. I felt the same way, but now it's like some of the people like really dive into like the personal growth elements and like some people don't. And it makes you like and dislike people in certain ways. So you'll finish it tomorrow and we'll recap it. And we're working on getting some of the contestants joining us remotely next week. So stay tuned for that. Yeah. And that's our show. Anything else you want to say before I wrap up?
No, we have to do our Zoom happy hour today. I'm so excited. I'm going to get questions in Toast After Dark. So if you are interested in that, head to patreon.com/themorningtoast. Lots of premium content to help get you through the queue. We are so grateful to everyone who is watching and enjoying these Zoom recordings. And we're grateful to all the essential workers out there and healthcare workers and everyone who is helping keep our people and the world safe and healthy and happy.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. Whoever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Also, please follow us on Instagram at The Morning Toast. We will see you guys tomorrow, Friday.
Bye.